Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. You know that this message that you're about to hear, I pray that not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them at this very moment. And if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure that you hit the subscribe button. I also want to take a moment and thank those who support us. We wouldn't have a ministry outside of these four walls if it weren't for people like you who come alongside us in prayer and support us financially. There are thousands of people who are benefited by this ministry, and because of that, we want to say thank you so much for your generosity. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. Well, enjoy the sermon.
Hey, church family, what powerful reminder is that? That the battle ultimately belongs to the Lord our God. Come on, give us a shout of praise. Amen. Hey, so great to be here and to hear you worship the Lord like that. Welcome, everyone. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as a lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And if it's your first time joining us, whether it's one of our local campuses or maybe online, listen, we're glad and honored to have you with us. In fact, it's actually a really great time to join us because we have been, if you've been here for a while, you know that we have been going through the Old Testament for over 2.5 years. We're currently in the book of Leviticus, and we were about to start the book of Deuteronomy, but we said, you know what? Before we go to the next book, we felt God's leading to take a pause and just to focus on our marriages. You know, because the truth of the matter is that when our marriages are strong, our families are going to be strong. And when our families are strong, our church will be strong as well. And so we're starting today a short 3-week series called For God's Sakes, Fight, specifically Fight for Your Marriage. And the title of the first message is Fighting the Right Enemy. Amen. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 25, as well as 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And folks, listen to what God's Word says in His Word. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become, what, church family? Oh, you could do better than that. What is it? Yeah, one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And then God's Word says in 1 Peter chapter 5, so be sober-minded, be watchful, for your what? Adversary or your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That is God's Word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. Again, it's great to have you here with us. And church, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, in the last several years, we have been reminded of the reality of war. You know, when we saw the Russia-Ukraine war start 2 years ago, and then last year we saw Israel and Hamas, and the moment we saw all those images, we were reminded of the reality of war. And the truth of the matter is that ever since the beginning of time, people have gone to war against each other. It's just a sad reality of life. But get this, those who are most successful at war are those who have studied war well. Now, folks, follow me here for just a moment. Because one of the most revered military manuals of all time is Sun Tzu's The Art of War. In fact, it is widely held as one of the most ancient and most influential military manuals in all human history. In fact, famous American generals like Douglas MacArthur and Norman Schwarzkopf not only drew their inspiration from this book, but much of their strategy was also derived from this book. And folks, the reason it's so revered is because in it, Sun Tzu sets out what he calls the essentials of military victory. And so listen to what he says in his book about how to ensure that you win the war. He says this. He says, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not to fear the result of 100 battles. But listen to what he says next. But if you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer defeat. And so what Sun Tzu says in his book is the fact that one of the most important parts of warfare is, first of all, knowing your enemy well, right? What is his strength? What are their weaknesses, right? You need to know who your enemy is well. However, the more foundational point, even before that, is knowing who the true enemy is. Because listen, if you do not know who the enemy is, if you're not crystal clear as to who it is that you're truly fighting, Sun Tzu says, listen, although you may have some victories along the way, at the end of the day, you will suffer defeat. And folks, let me just bring that over to our teaching for today, because what an example of the importance of knowing who our true enemy is in our marriages. And by that I mean that just like Sun Tzu, right, warns that the first step towards military victory is knowing who the true enemy is, just like that. And here's the main idea as we start off this series. Folks, if we are going to fight for our marriages, if we are going to go the distance in our marriages, then folks, we need to know who the real enemy of our marriages really are. Can I get an amen to that? You know, unfortunately, there's so many marriages who are confused as to who the true enemy in their marriage is. And every day they throw insults at each other, they curse at each other, they bring each other down in arguments and in fights. And here's the thing, they think that in the middle of all those little wars, they're gaining some sort of victory. Why? They think that they're the enemy. And so what happens is there's so many couples in this world. They go through their marriage life, right, going back and forth with each other, thinking that they're scoring small victories along the way, but in reality, just like Sun Tzu says, at the end of the day, they're going to suffer the defeat of their marriage. And who knows, maybe you've gone through a season like that in your life. Maybe right now you're going through one of those seasons, a hard season in your marriage. Maybe you know of someone in your life that's going through a hard season in their marriage. And you're sitting here thinking, you know, Omar, listen, I want the best for my marriage. You know, I want to strengthen my marriage. I want to fight for my marriage. I want my marriage to be all that it could be. So Omar, what do we need to know? If we are going to fight for our marriages and we're going to go the distance, what do we need to know about fighting, about who the real enemy is in our marriage? Well, folks, we're going to find out today from Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, all right? So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 2. And folks, today I have four important thoughts about what we need to know about the true enemy in our marriage. Christ Fellowship, are you ready to dive into God's Word today? Are you ready to dive into God's Word today? Come on, it's 12:30, yeah? All right. So write this down as point number one. Here we go. Here's the first thing we need to be reminded of. And that is that your spouse is not the enemy. In fact, listen to what God's Word says. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. And then notice what it says next. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become what, church family? One flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Pause right there for just a moment, because here in Genesis chapter 2, we read the account of not only the creation of man, of humanity, but we also see the creation of the first marriage. And folks, notice, God does something very specific. The moment that he brings the man and the woman together, right, and he forms the first marriage, the first thing he does is that he declares over them that they will become one flesh. You see, what many people do not realize is that the moment that they got married, back when they were young, a girl and a boy, they were so in love, they came together in front of their friends and family, and they made promises to each other, and they entered into that covenant of marriage. What many people do not understand is that God does something very supernatural in the midst of it. You see, in a way that we can never really truly understand, he brings us together, right? He brings a husband and a wife together, and he declares over them that they are now one flesh. In other words, they are now in the same unit. And so the creator at that moment, he intertwines their souls. And folks, very practically, we feel the effects of this in our life. Haven't you noticed, right, that this one little relationship in your life called marriage has monumental impact in every aspect of your life, right? We all have hundreds of relationships, friendships, acquaintances, coworkers, different people that we know in life. But this little relationship in our life called marriage has a tremendous impact in our life. In fact, when things are going well with your spouse, right? Things are going well, you're happy, things are going great. It doesn't matter what life throws at you, you feel you're okay, you're together, we're gonna tackle this together. But haven't you noticed that whenever you're at odds, whenever you're fighting, whenever there's contentment, whenever there's bitterness, right? Whenever things are not right in your marriage, it does not matter what you do, right? You can go out and try to have fun. You can go hang out with buddies. You can go to a baseball game. You can go shopping. You can try to do whatever you can in order to get your mind off of things and have some fun. But haven't you noticed that at the end of the day, you don't feel right? Why? Because that one flesh, that union that God made, right? There's something that's off, that's not right with that specific relationship. Why? Because, listen, in a way that we can understand, a husband and a wife are mysteriously united by God. And so the truth of the matter is that for many marriages, after they get married, right, struggles come their way, difficulties come down the pike, disappointments, all these different things start happening in a marriage. And little by little, they escalate to the point that now you begin to fight and then you begin to argue. And here's what happens to so many people in marriages. Somewhere along the line, when things are really bad at home, right? When the emotions are running, things are not right, your contentions are fighting, you no longer see that person as the person that got brought to you. You don't see that person as a person that you fell in love with. You don't see that person as a person that God declared one flesh and your souls are intertwined. No, in the middle of the heated debate, in the middle of the fight, in the middle of the contention, you no longer see them that way, but now you start seeing them as the enemy. And you start seeing them, you know, as a source of all my problems, as a source of all my sorrow. They're the problem, they're the problem, they're the problem. And listen carefully. If that is where your mind's at, you have fallen right into the trap of the enemy. If that is the way that you're viewing your spouse, listen carefully, you have fallen right into the trap of the true enemy. Because folks, that's exactly where the true enemy wants you to be. He wants you to be fighting, and he wants you to be seeing them, right, as someone who's not your spouse, but rather the enemy of your life. When in reality, listen, your spouse is not the enemy. Instead, write this down as big number two, Satan is the enemy of your marriage. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Now, folks, notice, immediately after God brings them together, makes them one and declares them one flesh. Listen to who appears in the very next verse. It says this: now the serpent, who is Satan, right, was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And so notice, God here, right, in the very next chapter, he puts the account of the fall, of the first sin, so that humanity knows where sorrow comes from, where death comes from, where all this, right? God wants us to be crystal clear on what is the source of all this sin and suffering that we see in the world. But when we look at it through the lens of marriage, if you think about it, God is very strategic here, right? Because right after God brings them together and declares them to be one flesh and brings them together in marriage, right? We see immediately after that, that Satan appears. And folks, Satan is not there to ensure that this one flesh union stays together. He's not there to make sure that they have a happy marriage. He's not there to help them go through the hard season of life. Listen carefully, he is there to destroy the marriage. This is why God's word says, be sober-minded, Christ Fellowship. Be watchful, couples, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone or seeking a marriage to destroy, to devour. You see, the truth of the matter is that immediately after you came together with your husband and wife and you got married in that happy day, you remember that day, how beautiful it was? From that moment on, the enemy set his eyes on you and he began to strategize how to divide what God brought together. And so in a sense, listen, Satan is at war against your marriage. This is why, again, God's word tells us in Ephesians 6, it says, for we, or in the context for today, for we are marriages, you do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. In other words, you're not wrestling, in other words, married people, you're not wrestling against, your fight is not against another person per se, rather, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so here's the thing, listen, if you're brand new here, listen, we're not a church that every week we're talking about Satan and the devil. Listen, we're not one of those churches, right? But here's the truth of the matter. We can easily swing the pendulum to the other side. Well, we never talk about the enemy. Well, we never talk about our true adversary. When scripture over and over and over and over helps us remind, listen, there is an enemy that you need to be aware that is hell-bent on destroying you and your marriage. And so if you're brand new here and you're thinking, Omar, like, man, that's just so odd. I just don't sense, I don't see it. Listen, you may not sense the enemy, but you can feel it at times. You know, I always think about a riptide, you know, like a rip current. You know, on the surface, you may sense something's going off that's, you know, that's odd, but the reality is that the surface is not really the strength of it, right? It's underneath the surface. Well, you don't see it, right? And here's what happens. The moment that that current grabs a hold of you, it starts pulling you further and further and further and further away from the people who you love on shore, right? You may not see it, but you can sense it. And folks, the same way happens in so many marriages. Listen, oftentimes you may not see the enemy work with your eyes, but let me tell you, you can sense it. And when the enemy gets between you and your spouse and he grabs one of you, listen, he starts pulling you further and further and further and further away from them. Isn't that right? And folks, just think about it practically. You know, remember that day you got married. How amazing it was, the cake and the balloons and the flowers and the dancing and everything. Everything was so perfect. And how in the world did we get to where we are today? I'll tell you why. There's been an enemy hell-bent on destroying your marriage, on affecting your marriage. And here's the thing. Here's how the enemy is going to try to battle and wage war against your marriage. Write this down as letter A. Your enemy will find ways to create division and fights. You see, just like at that inception of the marriage between Adam and Eve, right? The enemy started strategizing on how to approach them and how to divide them. Folks, in the same way, from the beginning of your marriage, the enemy is analyzing and strategizing as to how it is that he can get between both of you and separate you. And so here's the thing. The enemy is going to use every past hurt from your past, every disappointment, all your insecurities growing up, everything about your life, all those little issues taking place. Then in your marriage, he's going to use all that stress, all the financial issues, all those worries, everything. He's analyzing the whole situation, and he's going to grab those little things that he knows, right, are sore points in your marriage, and he's going to grab those issues, and he's going to put a wedge between you and your spouse in hopes that through that he can keep splitting you apart from each other. And so we need to be wise as to what is the strategy that the enemy has towards you and your marriage. For example, I'll be a little transparent here. You know, oftentimes God can even use the blessings that God gives us. The enemy could use even those things against us. So for example, you know, Ashley and I, you know, I'm right now the lead pastor at this church. And as you can imagine, it's a tremendous blessing from God. But it also comes with stress. Leading thousands of people could be stressful. And Ashley, on the other hand, she's leading Caring for Miami, our nonprofit. She's very involved. She's leading initiatives to start the mobile market and all these great things. Huge blessings of God, but also comes with a lot of stress. And so we both come home with a lot of stress. And then at home, we got two little blessings at home. They're 5 and 2-year-old. And those little blessings could be stressful at times. Because the moment we come home, it's not the perfect situation. It's tantrums and crying and bath time and feeding times and all that stress. And here's what happens. It's easy, right, in the middle of a regular life, right, when you're handling so much stress and so many things, to begin to be short with each other, blow off some steam with each other. Why? Because the spouse is the easiest person to do that with, right? We're the most comfortable and the most secure, so we blow off steam with each other. And there came a point that I started realizing this. I started thinking, what would be the enemy's strategy against me and against my family? In other words, if Satan, if the enemy wanted to bring down this church, right, and destroy this church, what would he do? And I realized he would go right to my marriage, right to my relationship with my wife. And so what he would do, I could see, wow, God has blessed you guys so much, the enemy could easily use all that stress to put you against each other. And so guess what? Whenever we sense, wow, okay, we're being too short with each other, things are a little escalating, we stop and we remind each other that we are not the enemy. There's an enemy trying to creep in, amen? And so we need to constantly say, hey, protect ourselves. Why? Because we cannot forget that the true enemy is trying to destroy our marriage, our family, and our church. And folks, the same way, you need to be wise in your own life. It's healthy for you at some point to say, you know what? Think about this. If you were the enemy and you were looking at your marriage and the enemy could see all your past failures, your insecurities, the hurts, the financial stress, whatever the case may be, how would the enemy attack us? Like, what would the enemy grab to try to divide us? And oftentimes, listen, when you start making that mental exercise, God has a way of shining light on the tactic. And I'm telling you, the moment you start realizing, right, that they're not the enemy, but there's an enemy, and they are using the strategy that you would expect them to, listen, it changes the game. Why? Because now you're seeing things from a different lens. But listen, if we don't do that hard work of really analyzing the enemy, what he's trying to do in our life, here's what happens. He comes into your house, he comes into your marriage, starts messing things up, and after he's done, and after you're fighting, and after you're at each other, here's what happens. Write this down, letter B. Your enemy then slithers away. You know, it's interesting that in Genesis chapter 3, after the enemy causes all this, havoc, he just slithers away, and he is nowhere to be found. And folks, the same thing happens in our marriages. Have you noticed sometimes you get into it, you start fighting, you get into all these things, you don't know where this came from, but then the enemy just puts you at odds with each other, and he just slithers away. And listen, today, he is not slithering away anymore. Amen? In this series, listen, we are going to shine a huge spotlight on the tactics of the enemy so that we can effectively fight for our marriages. And we are going to expose the enemy for the deceiver and the destroyer that he truly is. Can I get an amen to that, church? And folks, here's how we're going to expose him. We're going to expose his lies. So write this down as big number three. Satan's main weapon, ultimately, at the end of the day, is lies. In fact, listen carefully to his tactic with Eve and Adam and Eve. It says, he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So what? She's telling truth, God's truth. But then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, a lie, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And folks, here's what I want us to understand. Satan ultimately has really just two weapons. The first weapon is to accuse us of our sin before the Father. He is called the accuser of the brethren. And here's the thing. For those of us who are in Christ, that weapon does not work against us any longer. Why? Because when Christ died on that cross and he paid for the sins of this world and he paid for our sins, right? Those sins were paid for. And so therefore the enemy can never accuse us of condemnation before the Father. Why? Because Christ disarmed them at the cross. Amen? But listen, for those of us who are in Christ, the only other weapon that he has is simply lies. It's deceiving us. And so what happened, that's why scripture calls him the father of lies, right? And so even though, right, the enemy could speak 100 different lies to each specific marriage, right? I want to cover today the three main overarching lies that I see plaguing so many people in the church. And folks, here are the three main lies that I feel like the enemy really goes after people. Here's the first lie. Write this down, letter A. The first lie is that your marriage is the only one struggling. That's the first big lie. You know, somewhere along the way, we come to church and we look on social media and it looks like everyone is perfect, right? We all walk in holding hands with our Sunday smiles, Sunday best. Everything's perfect on Sunday. Our kids are checked in. Everything's great. We're all doing good. Then we go on social media and guess what? And social media, everyone looks like the perfect couple, right? They're going on date nights. They're going on vacation, selfie smiling, all these different things. And everything looks great. And here's what happens. The enemy uses that to shame you, to feel, wow, you're a Christian and you're struggling in your marriage. Shame on you. You should be ashamed of the fact that you're going through a hard season in your marriage. And so here's what happens. You use that shame, and now you put a facade like everything's all right. And you come to church, and you do the whole routine, and pretend that everything is perfectly fine. But here's what I want you to know. I know people personally that can be going, that are at each other's throats. They're so much contentious, yet on social media, they make it look like everything's perfect. Like the things are perfectly fine. And so, and in fact, I've heard it say that those people, those couples, right, that sometimes overdo it on social media, oftentimes they're trying to cover the struggling in their marriage. Why? Because they're trying to build a facade so that nobody could tell we're going through a hard season in our marriage. So listen carefully. Do not let church appearance, do not let social media, all right, for you to believe that everyone has a great marriage or good, everything's perfect, yet you're the only one that's struggling in your marriage. So, because here's what I would say. Listen, you, if you're going through the hardships in your marriage, you are not the only couple struggling. Listen, let that free you and remove all that shame. Listen, marriage has its highs and it has its lows. It has its seasons. And you go through different seasons and you navigate different things in life. And not every season is going to be picture perfect. We're all sinners at the end of the day. We have conflicts and there's things that we have to work through our life. In fact, the reason that God put in my heart to take a short pause and just focus on our marriage is why? Is because I believe that so many couples are believing this lie. That they're the only ones struggling and they're keeping it hush-hush because nobody needs to know. Nobody can know that we're the only that we're the only couples struggling. And so listen, it's okay. If you're going through a hard season in life, it's perfectly fine. Listen, marriages go through hard seasons. Amen? Second, the enemy is going to make you believe not only that you're the only person marriage struggling, but also write this down as letter B, that it's embarrassing to ask for help. You know, the enemy is going to tell you, listen, you should be ashamed of yourself for the fact that you're a Christian couple and you're struggling. And listen, since you're so ashamed, it will be embarrassing to ask for help. Oh, you cannot let anybody know. And here's what happens. We put the facade up even stronger. And here's what happens. The marriage is a little, you know, there's some issues, but no one asks for help, no one reaches out, and they start in private, keep spiraling out of control. And then when they are sinking and they're about to drown in the sea of divorce and they're about to get divorced, they kind of cry out, oh, I think we might need a little help. We're about to get divorced, right? So that leads people to go all the way and spiral to the point on the verge of divorce after so much damage has been done throughout the marriage. And so listen, here's what I will tell you. It's not embarrassing to ask for help, to help you with your marriage. It's embarrassing not to ask for help. In fact, imagine that at home, you see a crack in a wall, right? You're walking around the house and you see a little crack. And instead of calling the handyman, hey, you know, can you come and, you know, patch this up? I just don't want it to get worse. You say, oh, I'm embarrassed. I cannot call anybody because I can't fix a little issue in the foundation of my physical home. So I'm not going to call. I'm going to keep it quiet. And guess what? The wind comes, the storms come, the heat of Miami comes, all these issues, and that crack no longer stays small, it keeps growing with time. And now your home, the roof is collapsing on you, and while your roof is collapsing on you, that's when you pick up the phone and it's like, oh, I think I may need some help. I think there's something wrong with my home, right? How embarrassing is that? Same thing with our marriages. Listen, the moment you see something's off, man, let's work on this, let's fix this. Listen, the last thing that you can do is just sweep it under a rug and never address it. Why? Because that eventually is going to keep forming bigger and bigger and bigger until the roof of your marriage begins to collapse. And so listen, the reason that the enemy does not want you to even talk about your issues is because he likes it hush-hush. Quiet, keep it in the dark. No one can know about this. And that's exactly his strategy. He wants to keep it in the dark so that what? So that things get worse and worse. And let me tell you something. The moment you just talk to somebody about this, hey, man, I'm going through a hard season in my marriage. Hey, let's sit down with someone, whatever the case may be. Let me tell you something. There is freedom there. The moment you expose, hey, there's a little issue. There's some issues that we got to work through. Listen, there is so much healing. The moment you just utter the fact that you're going through a harsh season in life. And you'll be surprised that the moment you start talking about it, it allows now the light of God, right, to start coming, right, and really start healing a lot of your marriage. And so the enemy, the second lie, is that it's embarrassing to ask for help. Keep it hush hush. Do not talk about it. Do not acknowledge that there's an issue. Third, here's the third lie. And that is that your marriage cannot be rebuilt. So the only option here is divorce. In other words, you know, just too much has gone in our marriage. Man, we've been married for 5, 10, 15, 30 years. Just too much has happened. There's no hope of rebuilding. We can never go back to the way we used to be. And because we cannot go back, we shouldn't even try. The only option is divorce. So the enemy's going to want to help lead you to think that way. But you know, there's some truth in that, because here's what happens. Sometimes when people go through hard times and a marriage goes through really hard seasons, people have this false thought of like, oh, we need to go back to exactly the way it used to be, right? You know, back when you were dating and back when you early got married. And so what happens is that there's a unfair expectation of where the marriage needs to be. The reality is that God is committed to rebuilding your marriage, restoring your marriage. However, just like that past season at times was very beautiful at times, right? Listen, the next season of rebuilding, it may look a little different than in the past, but let me tell you something, it could be just as beautiful on its own. You know, in the fall, I was meeting with a couple that I was just, you know, counseling them. And there was a point that they were like, you know what, our emotions are not there anymore. I don't feel this way about this person anymore. We don't enjoy being with each other. There's a trust issues here and hurts from, you know, all these different things. And they were at a point that they were like, we can't move on from this. And I reminded them that God has a plan for them and God is committed to helping them restore. And I told them exactly what I'm telling you. Listen, we may not be able to go back to exactly the way it used to be, but let me tell you something. Trust me on this, that the future could be just as beautiful. In fact, this past week, I met with them. In just a few short months, what God has done is amazing. The feelings are coming back. They enjoy being with each other. They're traveling. They're doing all these different things. Things are not perfect yet, right? But they're on their way. But here's what they both noticed. Wow, this is a new, beautiful season in our marriage. Amen? And so listen, you know, rebuilding doesn't mean it's going to be exactly the same or pretend nothing happened, but it could be a beautiful new season. And so listen, I also want to talk about infidelity and adultery, because I know that that could be a very hurtful thing in a relationship. And adultery and infidelity can leave very deep, deep wounds in a marriage. And here's what I would say. I know couples in our own church that have gone through it. And listen, it takes time. There has to be contrition, repentance, and all these steps to get, you know, to start rebuilding the marriage. But let me tell you something. There are many marriages who've gone through infidelity, who've gone through adultery, and by the grace of God, they are enjoying a beautiful new season in their marriage. They don't pretend like it never happened, but it's a beautiful new season where after a while, God was able to restore. Can we praise God for that? Amen? And so you're probably thinking, well, Omar, listen, I'm here. I don't wanna let the enemy win. Man, I wanna see the best for my marriage. Boy, listen, if that's the case, if you feel like, man, you wanna go the distance, you wanna live the marriage that God envisioned for you, well, write this down as big number four. Then I would encourage you, listen, make a commitment to fight for your marriage. You know, folks, there has to be a moment in your marriage, a defining moment in your marriage where you say, you know what, no more. I am not going to let the enemy continue to infiltrate my marriage and destroy my marriage, my family, impact my children, and impact my grandchildren. Absolutely not. There has to be a moment that you commit yourself to fight. In fact, everyone say fight. Everyone say fight. Yeah, that you say, you know what? I am going to fight for my marriage, and I am going to pursue to honor the Lord, and I'm going to trust in Him to rebuild what the enemy has broken down. Amen? And so, man, I want to encourage you, if that's where you're at, whether your marriage is doing great or it could use a little work or you're in really bad shape, listen, it's never too late to make a commitment to fight for your marriage. And listen, here's the good news. If that's where you're at, not only is God fully committed to helping you in your marriage, but listen, we as a church are also here for you, amen? And here's some of the things that we want to offer to help you fight in your marriage. First of all, here's the first suggestion I want to encourage you with. It's to prioritize God in your marriage. You know, oftentimes what happens is that we see God, so many couples see God like this. Well, God is just there, and you know, He's there to provide for us, and He's there to look after us. And when things are bad, when we're in a jam, hey, let's bring Him in, let's pray, and you know, help us, God, with this issue in our life. But you see, He's never really the center of your marriage. He's just kind of there in the auxiliary of your marriage. And so there has to be a point when you become a Christ-centered married, that you put, not you're perfect, but that you put God at the center. What God says is what we're going to do. And in fact, if you're a first-time guest listening, you feel like, man, I want to help in my marriage, the first step is to start, keep coming and pursuing the things of God. You will not find the truth anywhere else other than in God's Word. And the reason I say make a commitment is because there's been times, many times I get calls, and this happened many times, where I get calls from a couple, for somebody, oh, Omar, man, my marriage is struggling, my marriage is about to sink, we're about to get divorced and all these different things. And here's what I say, man, I'm sorry to hear that, but we're here for you. We're going to help you with in whatever way we can. And they, I always say this, hey, you know what? This Sunday after church, let's meet afterwards. Sit down and just talk for a little bit. And so oftentimes they're like, oh, well, Pastor, I can't be, we're not at church this weekend. Oh, we got this thing going on, or, you know, we got a little birthday party, or we got the beach already going on, or the sports thing, you know, we got the sports thing going on. And I'm like, that's it. So your marriage is crumbling, yet you can't prioritize to come to church. Listen, when your marriage is going through a hard time, you prioritize it, right? So my encouragement to you, if you're going through a hard season, prioritize the things of God. Second of all, listen, join a couple small group. Listen, you're not meant to go to be a solo couple going through the difficulties of marriage by yourself. Listen, we stress here Christ-centered community. Get in a place with other couples that are not perfect but are pursuing the Lord just like you are. It makes a tremendous impact the moment you have other friendships with other people that are also pursuing the Lord. The third thing that we're offering as a church is a marriage seminar. On Friday, April 19th, Friday night, and then also on Saturday morning, on April 20th, we're offering a marriage seminar. Now, we rarely do seminars here at church, but we felt we'll make an exception because this is an important thing for the families at our church. And so there is a cost to cover the dinner, the breakfast, the snacks, the decorations, the pamphlets, everything that goes along with it. But here's what I would encourage you. If you are dating or engaged, seating is very, very limited. So we're going to ask you not to attend this. God willing, you can go in the future. But this is only going to be for Christ Fellowship married couples, okay? And I say Christ Fellowship married couples is because many of us may know people from other churches who may want to be this, come. But here's what the reality is that we're limited. And I want to be sure that we address and we help our couples at our church first, because what good is it we're helping everybody else, but we're not helping the marriages within our church, okay? So it's going to be only for Christ Fellowship couples who are married, and so I want to encourage you to attend that seminar. We'll give you more information later on. The fourth thing is Christ-centered advice. And the reason I say advice, okay, is because sometimes the issues are not so bad. It's just, you know, you just need someone to process and get some thoughts on. And so I would encourage you, listen, maybe grab a cup of coffee with another godly couple that you know. Maybe grab a cup of coffee with your small group leader, somebody that you sit down and they can help you process whatever's going on. And oftentimes by just shining light on some basic issues with God's word, they could help you, you know, strengthen and patch up and move forward with your marriage. And so there's many couples that would be willing to just grab a cup of coffee with you and help you process and give you some of their own experiences in life. And then the fifth thing that we want to encourage you is Christ-centered counseling. And there's two types. First of all, there's pastoral counseling. We here at Christ Fellowship, we have over 15 pastors here who, you know, we love and shepherd the flock. And so listen, we are here to help you and to meet with you. If you feel you need to meet with one of the pastors, man, we are here for you and to help you in this season. But here's what I would just say. if you know of another couple that needs pastoral counseling, I would encourage you, if they're part of another church, they should get counseling from their own pastors, okay? From the pastors at their church. They need to look after their flock. We're looking after our flock because our pastors, we're limited, right? So to how many people we can counsel. And then another thing I want to just give the disclaimer, okay? You may not know this, but our pastors are out almost 2 to 3 times a week at night. And I told them, listen, I don't want you guys to be doing counseling at night. Because then if you're out every single night in the week, guess what? Then you're going to need counseling for your own marriage, right? It's just the reality of life. And so we got to protect our pastors. And so listen, if you feel you need pastoral counseling, we will do the best to help as many people as we can. But I would encourage you, make the adjustment to meet during the day or a time. You got to make the adjustments for your own marriage to get the counseling that you need. But listen, we're here to help you, and we're going to do our best to meet with as many people as possible. And then we also have professional counseling, and we have partnered with Wellspring Counseling Center. It's a great Christ-centered counseling center with many counselors that really focus on meeting with couples and helping them talk through things and process and heal and all that great. And so in a few moments, I'll show you where you can go and get more information from Wellspring. They've been on stage with us here in the past, and so been a great partner with us. And so they're ready to receive as many couples who need counseling as well, and they're available for you as well. But I don't know if you noticed, but I purposely wrote Christ-centered, right? And here's why. You wouldn't believe how many Christian couples get secular counseling and not Christian counseling. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you know God's word. The only way to rebuild a marriage that doesn't honor God is through godly principles, is through God's word. And so I want to encourage you, whatever type of counseling, listen, we're not relying on the world's wisdom. We're relying on God's wisdom. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, listen, whatever form you go to, make sure they're leading you towards Christ. And then last but not least, at the end of this 3-week series, on the Thursday afterwards, which is going to be Thursday, March 21st at 8 p.m., if I'm not mistaken, we're going to be having a Q&A online on YouTube where you can watch together with your spouse. And so throughout this series, if you have questions about marriage, about relationships, whatever the case may be, go ahead and go. I'm going to show you a website. You can go to cfmiami.org/marriage. And in that website, one of the links is to submit any questions you may have. And then we'll look through them and we'll answer them on that Thursday, March 21st, okay? And so you can go to our website. There's also when you go to the website, it's just like this. It's a one-stop shop. So you can submit your questions. You can join a couple small group, attend the marriage seminar, pastoral counseling, or Wellspring counseling, whatever it is. Listen, it's a one-stop shop for you that you can go and you can check. So you can either scan the QR code for whatever it is that whatever link you want, or if you just go to cfmiami.org, at the top of the webpage, there's a banner that says marriage resources. Click on there, and cfmiami.org, you click on there, and then that page will come up, and it's a one-stop shop for all the links that you're looking for, okay? So listen, today I just want to end by just with a prayer for our married couples. And so if you don't mind, If you are a married couple, I want to ask, encourage you at all campuses, stand up right now, wherever you're at. And I'm going to ask you to do something that maybe some of us have not done in a long time, is to hold each other's hands. Can we do that? Yeah. Not other couples. Hold your spouses, your spouse. And if you're not married, if you're married but your spouse is not here, stay standing. I want to pray for you as well, okay? But I just, listen, my heart is to see our marriages be as healthy as can be. You know, the reason that I overdid it with the resources is because I would never want any of our couples, okay, at our church to ever say, wow, man, our church does not have a heart for marriage. It's like, man, we're offering everything we can. And if you don't get help, if you don't strengthen your marriage, that's not on us, that's on you, amen? You need to put your pride aside and say, you know what? We're gonna get the help that we need, talk to whatever, so we can strengthen and get on the right track, okay? So I'm gonna pray for us. We're gonna be dismissed right after. But if you're sitting down, why don't you just, also pray alongside of me. Pray for all these marriage couples because we have to protect our marriages, amen? Let me pray for us now. Lord, thank you that as we fight for our marriages, Lord, we are not alone. Father, we have you, we have your truth. And Father, we know that you can rebuild what the enemy tried to destroy. And so Father, my prayer today over all the married couples in our church, oh God, my prayer is first of all that they would be wise about the tactics of the enemy, oh God. Father, I pray that you put a hedge of protection around them and that they would be wise to know how it is that the enemy is attacking them so that they can be wise against the schemes of the devil and be able to fight for their marriage. Help them understand, Lord, that their true enemy is not each other, but there's another enemy, Lord, that's hell-bent on destroying them, oh God. And Father, let them be wise in the way they live their life. Father, I pray for us, I pray that for all of our couples, whether they're strong or whether they're weak or whether they're in a really bad situation, Father, my prayers are for all of us to come to a commitment, a place of commitment where we say, you know what? We are going to fight for our marriage. That we are going to fight to honor the Lord. We're gonna fight for our family. We're gonna fight for our children. We're gonna fight for everything that God has for us, and we're not going to let the enemy have his way any longer. And Lord, for those of us who are here by ourselves, that maybe we have a spouse who's not here with us, Father, we pray for these marriages as well, Lord. You know what's happening in each of their lives. And so, Father, we pray for strength and for courage to fight the good fight. And so, Father, thank you, Lord, for always loving us. Thank you for giving us the tools to rebuild. And Father, we cannot wait to see what you're going to do the moment that we commit to fight for our marriage. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. And all of God's people say, amen, amen. Hey, so church, hey, man, what a great week, first week. Listen, I want to encourage you, be back next week. Next week, we're going to talk about fighting. How to argue, but not how to fight and argue to divide the union, but to preserve the union, all right? So be back next week. Very, very practical. We love you all. God bless.